chapter 5, we start in verse 1. Reading from the NIV 1984. This is the 1984 edition, by the way. For those of you who may be using the 2011, you may see some little differences, but I get to use the 1984. Now, when he saw the crowds, this is Jesus, obviously, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice." Everybody say, "Rejoice." "Rejoice." "And be glad." Everybody say, "Be glad." "Yeah." Tell the person next to you, "Be glad." "Yeah." Tingnan mo nga yung mukha niya. Is there gladness in that face? "Rejoice and be glad." Listen, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, once again, I come to you. I confess my need for you. I cannot preach. I cannot do a single good thing apart from you. So, Lord, anoint me and anoint my brothers and my sisters. Even as we approach your word, we are asking God, inspire us today and every day. We want to find our joy, our happiness in you. Oh, Lord, that we will just represent who you are in this world. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen, amen. All right, so we're talking about how to be happy. Oh, by the way, who was here in our three nights of glory? Now, I'm not so happy. Who was here in our three nights of glory? Who made it to a day or 2 days in the three nights of glory? Oh my goodness. You know what? I wonder what happened, because the place was packed. The place was full. Whoever those guys were, I don't know now. All along I was thinking, it's us. It's you. So some other guys filled up the place. Well, you know, I'm just so happy that our daughter churches came. They're just so hungry for God. I guess, but God moved. I mean, it was wonderful. It was truly wonderful. And God moved. The first day, Pastor Allen got to preach. And we are talking about how to sustain the fire, how to make it just last for the longest time until Jesus Christ comes back. And so Pastor Allen, he talked about power. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power. And then the second day, Pastor Roel, he talked about love. And then I got to talk about self-discipline. Tindian. I mean, I was, before I got to preach, I was actually struggling. Sabi ko, "Lord, this is the most boring sermon that I have ever prepared. Self-discipline. I mean, how do you preach on self-discipline?" But God was there and he just inspired all of us. And I think, my biased opinion is, I think we learned something. Who has self-discipline now? Yeah, see? These are the ones who attended. Those who cannot raise your hands, oh, I pray God have mercy on you. God have mercy on you. Just kidding. For those of you who are new here and you may find the tone sarcastic, nagjo-joke lang po ako, all right? Don't get stumbled over my tone. I love you. I love everyone. Just so you'll have an idea what happened about self-discipline, all right? I talked about growing. Who came from a Campus Crusade background here? Campus Crusade. You got born again through Campus Crusade. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Ate Nena, you got born again through Campus Crusade. Oh, great. Kaya magagaling yan. Magagaling yan. Anybody else? Uy, ako na rin. Ako na rin. Para magaling din ako. I talked about prayer. I talked about reading your Bible. I talked about obedience. And I talked about witnessing for Jesus. And something that we learned about praying to make it easy for us, halikarita atilalet. Sample, kailangan ng model. Yan. For those of you who still don't know who my wife is, here's my beautiful wife. Okay? Huwag kang magtago sa likod ko. Right there. Alright? So, how do you pray? Let's start with P. That's praise. Ay, baba naman nun. Okay. That's how you praise. Alright? That's how you praise. And then, R. What's R? That is to repent. How do you repent? Why is the position like that? Because you're shunning away from sin. Alright? So when you're in that repenting mode, you do this. Dapat may ano yan eh. Alright? Alright. The A would be for asking. And that's how you ask. Why is your position like that? Because you're ready to receive. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. So whenever you're asking from God, your position is like this. And then the why would be to yield. That is to surrender to God. You know the prayer of Jesus. He said, Lord, let this cup pass over me, but not my will, yours be done. So you yield, you yield. Alright? Palakpakan naman natin yung model ko. Mamaya, kailangan ilibre ko yan. Trabaho siya, nahirapan siya ron. Okay, how to be happy? Let's talk about this. And we have started with the first two points. The first two, for those of you who were not here last Sunday, and just so you will be updated, the first one, how to be happy. Oh, by the way, sorry, I'm medyo scattered. I'm still waiting for the coffee to set in. The word blessed here, it says here, blessed are the poor, or blessed are the poor in spirit. The word blessed in Greek is makarios. Everybody say makarios. And makarios literally means happy. So when Jesus was saying blessed are the poor in spirit, he's saying happy are the poor in spirit. When he says, blessed are those who mourn, he's saying, happy are those who mourn. I mean, it sounds like a contradiction. It's a paradox. How can you be happy when you're mourning? We will get to hear the explanations to this. So when he says, blessed or blessed are the meek, he's saying, happy are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy. Everybody say, happy. The word is makarios. Happy. The Amplified Bible says this. Blessed, or the word makarios, it means happy, to be envied, spiritually prosperous, that is with life, joy, and satisfaction regardless of their outward conditions. Regardless of their outward conditions. We know that this year may bring in some good times, it may bring in some bad times. We all know that. It's a given in life. There are things that are good, there are things that are not so good, things that are bad. But regardless of the outward conditions, the Bible says that we remain blessed. We remain happy. Tingnan mo yung mukha ng katabi mo. And they wonder, why are you like that? There are certain attitudes that Jesus talks about in being happy all the time. All right? Naalala ko tuloy yung isang katahan. Inward, outward, upward, downward, happy all the time. Who knows that song? Yan ang mga protestante. If you don't know that song, you must have come from a different group. But we, Protestants, we know that group. We know that song, alright? I'm inward, outward, upward, downward, happy all the time. The key phrase is all the time. All the time. And it is something that we need to learn. Lord, I want to be happy all the time. Even if I go through problems, I'm still happy all the time. Even if the outward circumstances may not favor me, I'm still happy all the time. Because that will show the difference that believers in Jesus have over the world. Sabi mo, katabi mo, naiba ka. You're different. You're different. Alright? Naiba tayo. So, how can we be happy all the time? Alright? Let's start. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And here, we get the first lesson. How can we be happy all the time? Number one, by the way, for those of you who jotted down notes last week, I tweaked this a bit. Alright? So you may want to tweak your notes also. Number one is, be spiritually dependent on God. How can you be happy all the time? Be spiritually dependent on God. Everybody say, dependent. Which is why it says here, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The word for poor means begging. Yeah. Jesus is practically saying, hey, you're blessed, you're happy if you get to beg from God every day. The word for poor means begging, dependent on others for support. Here, it means being brought low or weakened to the point of realizing the need to depend on Jesus for help. Who knows you always need help from Jesus? Not just in bad times, by the way. Has it dawned on you that most of the time, we depend on God when we are going through bad times? But not so much on good times. Good times, I don't need God. Which is why I always tell my pastors, I always tell our ministers, you know what? It is when we have just experienced a great victory that we all the more need to go to God in prayer. Most of the falls, the great falls of great men and women of God happen after a great victory. If you will read about the fall of David when he fell to Bathsheba, he fell to Bathsheba, but the chapter before that speaks of the conquests of David. He was conquering city after city, kingdom after kingdom, nation after nation. He was just conquering everybody. And then it says in the following chapter, at a time when kings go off to war, David decided to take a rest. Pahinga muna ako. And it was at that time when he actually got to peep. P-E-E-P. Actually, the intention was not really to peep. It was just to stretch and just have some quiet time. But then he saw this woman bathing. Yung unang tingin daw, aksidente, pwede pa. Na-aksidente lang. Hindi mo naman alam na nando. He didn't know that the woman was there. Uy, ano yun? It's an accident. But the moment you go for a second look, ano nga yun? That's the sin. Because now it's intentional. So, I remember doing a night ministry in Ermita. Back then, Ermita was known for something else. Who still remembers Ermita? You know, it used to be the red light district in Manila. So we were told before we went there, hey, the moment you see these women who are plying their trade, just look at their faces. Be careful just to look at their faces. Don't look elsewhere. Because the moment you look elsewhere, you may be committing a sin. Now, the first glance, and you didn't even know that the woman is there, or this is how she is clothed or unclothed, whatever the case may be, it's unintentional. Hindi mo naman alam eh. Napatingin ka lang. Uy, ba't ganun? Alam mo yun? But one of the brothers who were with us, sabi niya, hay, ganun pala yun. So if it's the first look, accident, eh, first look na lang ako, hahabaan ko na lang. Now, that's intentional. All right? That's not right. So, going back, that was the time when David fell. He fell at a time when kings go off to war. Tell the person next to you, we are always at war. Amen? Even in our times of victory, we are always at war, which is why we should always be dependent on God. We depend on God for help. We depend on God for strength. We depend on God for grace. We depend on God for our victory day after day, even in the easy moments. Especially in the easy moments. Because it's in the hard moments when we realize I really need God. But in the easy moments, honestly, do you still pray? In the easy moments, we tend to forget God. It's easy. I can handle this myself. No. Be spiritually dependent on God always. The Message Bible says, you're blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule. It's true. The moment we realize, God, I am so in need, I need you. And so we remember the church in Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. For those jotting down notes, just write that down. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 to 20. If you can show them that, Ami. Revelation 3, 17. It says here, you say, now this is Jesus speaking to a church. And it's unfortunate, he's speaking to a church. He says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. See, Jesus is correcting the attitude of this church, because this church is saying, I'm rich, we're wealthy, we don't need a thing. The moment you got it made, or you think you got it made, you're in trouble. The moment that the church thinks, I got it made, we got it made. Even if it comes to that time when church so blessed has its own beautiful big facility, may we never think that we have got it made. Why? Because we will always be in need of God. Even if it comes to the point when the healing ministry or the signs and wonders ministry has gotten so big, and all the other groups and denominations are recognizing that is from God, may we never think that we got it made, because we will never have it made until Jesus Christ is our all in all. And so Jesus is rebuking the church. You're saying, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, you don't need the thing. But you do not realize you are wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. And that goes for all of us, people. Apart from Jesus, we are pitiful. Kawawa ka naman. Kawawa naman tayo apart from God. So, what should be the attitude to be happy? God, I will always be dependent on you. Because if we're dependent on God, we will always be helped by Him. Amen? Alright? Everybody say, Lord, I need you. Yeah, that's our attitude. We need God. Alright, let's move to the next. We need God. What's the blessing? Oh, by the way, what's the blessing? If you're spiritually dependent on God, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Imagine this. The moment you realize, God, I need you. God, I really need you. Jesus, I really need you. Come to my rescue. I really need you. I need strength. I need power. I need healing. I need mercy. I need your patience. Who needs God's patience? Who needs more of God's love? Diba? Who needs more of God's joy? God's peace. Ulitin ko, God's patience. Ako kasi yun, kulang ako rin eh. God's patience. Who needs more of God's kindness? You need to be more kind? Huh? Be kind to animals. Be kind to people. Be kind to everyone. Oh! That's below the belt. That's below the belt. I need to be kind to all creatures, especially cats. Yeah, I must confess. But there are two big cats roaming around, just in case you didn't know, roaming around centuries, while there are all the cute dogs, handsome dogs, beautiful dogs, you know, the best creatures You know that verse, you have made him a little lower than the angels? Huh? Alright. So, here's God. Alright? Here's God. Here are the sons and daughters of God. That's us. And then God says to the dogs, you have made him a little lower than the sons and daughters of God. Cats are down there. Down there. But, I will be patient with them. And kinder. Kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. Oh, I need self-control right now. Who needs more self-control? More self-control. Tell the person next to you, you have self-control. God gives it to you. Amen, amen. Who's happy that when you tell God of your own bankruptcy, He comes to the rescue? Diba? It is when we don't realize how much in need of God is that we cannot find help. But see, the promise of Jesus is this. The moment you realize that you are poor in spirit, hey, I'm giving you the resources of the kingdom of heaven. God comes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because the moment we acknowledge, God, I am poor. I am in need. I beg of you, God, give me patience. And I want it now. You've read that sticker? Lord, give me patience and I want it now. That's why God can't give it to you. Because you want it now. No, no, more patience. Lord, kaharap ko na yung pusa. Sa bahay namin, pag-uwi kami, there's this huge bullfrog. Like, huge bullfrog. Ang laki! Bullfrog. My son was asking me, Daddy, take your pick. Bullfrog or cat? I said, bullfrog, any time of the day. It's a no-brainer. Now, for those of you cat lovers, I love you. Forgive me. All right? Blessed are those who are merciful. All right? Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Oh, pray for me, a poor sinner. I need to have mercy on cats. All right? It's not true that I kill cats. At least not intentionally. Okay? It has happened, but I love cats. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Oh God. Number two, let's move on. Oh, I want to move. This is just recap, by the way. We're doing recap. Number two, be, and for those jotting down notes, I told you, I tweaked this a bit. Be broken over sin. Oh, you want to be happy? Be broken over sin. Jesus says in verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Mourn over what? Mourn over sin. Mourn over the mess in the world. We need to mourn. We need to grieve. Now, this is a serious one now. We need to learn how to grieve over our sins once again. We need to learn over all of the things that are wounding life, family, culture, nation. Everything that is causing mess in this planet, we need to be grieving over it. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Those who mourn would be the intercessors. They would be the ones who would say, God, this is not right. God, this is not right. If you don't feel anything over something that you know is not right, something is wrong in your heart and in my heart. Pag may nakita kang mali, pag may nakita kang malungkot, pag may nakita kang masama, and it seems like it doesn't affect you anymore, something's wrong. I remember one time going to church when we were still in Timog, going to church and I was driving. And I saw some of these vendors, probably street vendors, most probably street vendors, they had their, anong tawag doon yung parang, No, it's not kariton, yung bilao. What's bilao? Bileo. Alright? Huh? Winnowing basket. Let's just call it pancit malabon container. And I saw these vendors. These vendors, they had vegetables, they had tomatoes, onions, they had all this stuff in their containers, and they were running. And then I saw that there were actually some enforcers who were running after them. And when I saw that, there must have been like 3 or 4 vendors running with their merchandise. And I saw the enforcers. I know they're just doing their job. Probably they're clearing up the street of all these illegal vendors. But my heart just broke. Right there, right then, I started honking my horn. As if that could do something. As if that could catch their attention. If only my horn could say a word, I wanted to say, stop, you don't need to do that. But I was just crying. I started crying. I felt the pain in those vendors. I felt like that would be the last merchandise, the last source of money or income for them. And it's just going down the drain because it's just getting wasted as they were running. I mean, it broke me. It broke me. I don't know how you feel when you see sin in this land. I don't know how you feel if you see sin in your life. But if there is no grieving there, if there is no brokenness, Jesus says this, blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because it is those who mourn who will be comforted. We can only find our comfort if we know how to grieve over sin. One of the stories that Jesus talks about is in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. We can go to that story. Just again, a recap. I want to move on after this. To some who were confident, some who were confident of their own righteousness. See, that's the problem. Confident of their own righteousness. They're looking at themselves and they're saying, I'm good, I'm okay. I don't need to repent of anything. See, the problem is when you have gained that self-righteousness by looking at yourself and comparing yourself to somebody who is worse than you. That's the tendency. That's how we find comfort in ourselves. The way we comfort ourselves would be to look for somebody else who's worse. Eh, mas masahol naman yon. And when you see somebody who's worse than you, then you feel better about yourself. But then again, those guys who are worse than us are not the standard. The standard will always be the perfection of Jesus. And we all know we cannot compare to the perfection of Jesus. For example, you may say, well, you know, Pastor, I have not killed anyone, so I'm not really that bad. Or I have not really committed adultery, so I'm not that bad. But Jesus, He has a different standard. He says, hey, if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you already commit adultery. You don't need to go out with some woman or you don't need to go out with some man who is not your spouse to commit adultery. All you need to do is just look with lust on someone else. And that's adultery. Now, you may not have killed someone, but Jesus says, the moment you say about that person, you fool! You already killed that person. Who has killed someone here by saying that guy is crazy, that guy is foolish? Sige, wag na lang.
baka magdagdag pa tayo ng kasalanan. Nagsisinungaling tayo.
But it has happened. Who among you has ever had any negative thought about someone? Who, that guy. And so Jesus is telling us, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to be broken over sin once again. When was the last time you actually cried to God and said, God, there is something wrong with me. I do not like this and I repent. Look at the story here. Jesus says to those who were confident of their own righteousness, tell the person next to you, there is no own righteousness. We don't have a righteousness of our own. Bible says that our righteousness are as filthy rags. Our own righteousness as far as my mark is concerned. So what's your grade? What's your mark? Natutuwa po ako si Chelsea kahapon. Proud na pag-uwi namin from Nueva Ecija. She walked up to us and she was presenting to us her grade because she's taking a second course. And so she's so proud. Sabi, ang tataas naman yan. Ang tataas eh. Puro cinco. Well, the good cinco. There's the good cinco, there's the bad cinco. But for her school, cinco is like one. Like, whoa, ang tataas naman yan. Yun nga lang, meron siyang isa eh. 4.5. And she's so sad about that. She's so sad about that. Alam mo, ang yabang, parang, whoa, tinatangay ako. Truth of the matter is, you may be a straight A student. You may have things so good in your life. But if we will be honest about it, nobody has really reached that perfection apart from Jesus. Which is why the Bible says, for all have sinned. And what? Fallen short of the glory of God. The standard is the glory of God. And unless we hit that mark of the glory, we're short. Tell the person next to you, you're short. I'm short. Hindi pandak, okay? But we have fallen short of the glory. We have fallen short of the glory. And God is reminding us today, hey, you have all fallen short. We have all fallen short. Don't get your comfort from knowing that somebody has fallen shorter than you. Just because you are better than someone does not make you okay. Because Bible says that if we are able to fulfill all the commandments and yet miss out on just one, you still fall short. So what should we do? It says here in the story, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, looked down on everybody else. Oh my. And looked down on everybody else. Now, I'm not about to ask you to raise your hand, but if you have ever looked down on someone, this is a story for you. Look down on someone. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He never looks down on anyone. He never looks down on anyone. Jesus loves everyone. Oh, which is why it's just my prayer. Oh God, give me a bigger heart. Give me a bigger heart so that I don't get to look down on anyone. I will just learn to love everyone. Love everyone. Not because of their financial status, not because of their fame, not because of their power or how society looks at them. Just love everyone. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, look down on everybody else. Jesus told this parable.
Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. See how he finds his comfort. See how he finds his comfort. How does he find his comfort? God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. He goes to look for somebody who's worse than him. Yung bang, at least mas maganda pakiramdam ko pag kinumpara ko yung sarili ko sa iba. Na mas masahol sa akin. Why won't he compare himself with Mother Teresa? Why won't he compare himself with a Heidi Baker? Hey, lagot siya ron. So what does he do? He looks for someone worse than him. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Nakita pa yung kasama sa church na nagpe-pray. And sometimes we get to do that. We look around and, oh, there's someone in the church worse than me. I'm holy. I'm good. I got it made. Or even like this. This is to say, proximity-wise, the guy is near. He did not say, or like that tax collector, like this. It may be a person sitting next to you. Mas okay ako rito. So what does he pray? He says, I fast twice a week. Oh, daigo marami sa atin. Ako, twice a year. I fast twice a week, give a tenth of all I get. Who? Parang tayo lang. We give our tithes. But, look at the comparison or the contrast. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home. What? Justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. What happened to the tax collector? He was broken over sin. Let me just encourage you people. Have some time with God and ask him, God, let my heart break over sin once again. I love what Bill Johnson said. He says, if it has been a while, if it has been a while that I have not wept, I need to have a good cry before God again. When was the last time that you had a good cry before God? Just the two of you, no other people, not in public worship, but just you and God, and just have some honest moment with God. Oh God, if there's anything in my heart that you need to circumcise, show it to me so that I can genuinely repent. Everybody say genuine. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? What's the blessing when we do that? When we are broken over sin, they will be comforted. Psalm 30 verse 5. Let's read this. Psalm 30 verse 5. And everyone go. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Now this part, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I encourage you people, have your personal, honest time with God. No cover-ups. No facade. Just tell God, God, even before I pray, you know everything about me. I cannot hide anything from you. The things in my life that hurt you, reveal them to me. And I want to grieve. Let me just have a good grieving before you. Because God promises, if you have a good grieving, if you have a good mourning, yung talagang pag mourning, pag mourning. We are in mourning. If you have a good mourning, grieving, over your sin. See, people, the attitude towards sin is grieving. The attitude towards sin is, I don't like you. No more, you're hurting my life. No more, you're killing my holiness. You're destroying my relationship with God. The moment we get that attitude towards sin, that sin is not something that we enjoy, it destroys us. It destroys you. It destroys the plans and the purposes of God. The moment we come to that point, we're in, this is not right. You know, they say that one of the best and one of the most genuine revivals that ever happened in the face of the planet would be the revivals of Charles Finney. And they say that when it comes to the converts to Christianity, that the revival of Charles Finney brought about, 95% of those who attended the revivals of Finney and who repented before God, 95% remained true to the faith until they died. Compared to, listen up, compared to, and this is most of the other statistics, those who would attend a crusade by some giants like a D.L. Moody or a Billy Graham or some other people who would be preaching the gospel, and I just want it clear, they preach the genuine gospel. These guys, I respect them. I love them. I love Billy Graham. I love D.L. Moody. I love the evangelists. I love what they do for God. But statistics show that the converts of these other crusades, only 5% of them would remain true to the Lord and be incorporated into the church. What's the difference? Why is it that in the revivals of Finney, 95% would remain true to the Lord, whereas in the other crusades, only 5% will remain true? You know what the difference is? The difference would be in the revivals of Charles Finney, there is what they call the mourner's bench. What's the mourner's bench? If you would attend his revival meetings, and Charles Finney will be very sure and be very definite to mention the different sins that people commit. He addresses sins. And this is one thing that the church needs to go back to, that we need to address sins and call sins as sins. We generally, as the church, have preached a gospel that will tickle the itching ears of people and have them entertained. Church is not about us being entertained. Church is about us giving glory to God. Be holy even as He is holy. The preaching of holiness is gone. And Charles Finney would be addressing sin as it is. Sin is not right. Depart from sin. Come out from among them, God says, and be separate. So these people would respond to the message of Charles Finney. They'll stand up. They will walk up, not to the altar, so that Charles Finney will declare them, all right, you've prayed the sinner's prayer, by the way, which is something I do. Every Sunday I do it. I said, I always say, if you're here, you want to get saved, today's the day of salvation, and I issue an altar call. I do that. But in Charles Finney's time, when you come to him and say, oh, I repent, you know what? I'm not about, Charles Finney would say, I am not about to declare that you are now saved. Go and just be in mourning over your sin. So there's the mourner's bench. where people will be on their knees and crying out to God, "Oh God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me." One night, two nights, three nights, four nights, five nights, they weep over their sin. They weep, "Oh God, forgive me, I lie. Oh God, forgive me. I have this anger in my heart. Lord, forgive me. I don't have patience. Oh Lord, forgive me. I cheat. Forgive me." They repent one by one. Because Charles Finney says, you committed your sins one by one. You repent of your sins one by one. And it makes sense. The problem nowadays is that we get to make a repentance prayer that just sums it all up. "Lord, forgive me. I sinned. And I repent. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins." Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is it does not go deep enough to do a surgical removal of those filth that are in our hearts. Thus, we cannot find genuine comfort in the forgiveness of God. Five nights, six nights, they will be on the mourner's bench crying over their sin. Finally, on the seventh day, Charles Finney says, "You are forgiven. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus." Thus, these people who mourned over their sins, they're the ones who got the comfort of God, and they're the ones who stayed genuine in their faith. 95% of them remained on fire for God. What's the difference? I think there is a call for each one of us, each one, in our own private moments, just spend time with God and say, "God, I want to be honest before you. I stand before you right now, and I must admit, I have my own issues, and God has to deal with me. And I need cleansing." But the promise of God is so good. He says, weeping may remain for a night, but hey, the moment you get your cleansing, rejoicing comes in the morning. Amen? That's why Jesus says here, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Nakadalawa uli ako. But I believe that God just wanted to highlight those two things. Oh, how much God wants to do a surgery in our hearts and just make it all clean. Let me end with this. I remember there was a time when I was playing, you know, the street games. What do we call them? Street games, tama ba? The street games, larong kalye. Who among you here, you grew up playing street games? Those are the genuine ones, by the way. Millennials, listen up. Oh my goodness. Hey, listen up. The millennials, the only muscles that they get to develop would be the thumb muscles. Just the thumb muscles. Huh? Wala. Mga lampa. Ay, macho yan si Emong. Macho yan. But everybody else, back then, we know how to play tumbang preso. I mean, you hit that can. And you're able to run. We were able to play hide and seek. We were able to play what we call football, but actually the rules of the game of football is actually baseball. Has it ever dawned on you? It's called football because they toss you the ball. You're supposed to kick it. And when you kick it, you go and run the diamond. Diamond is baseball. But it's football played via baseball rules. I mean, those are the games. Back then, I remember One time I was just playing one of those games. Nadapa ako eh. And I got wounded right here. Payat ako. You know something about thin people? When you get wounded, I mean, if you stumble over and you get wounded, if you're payat, the wound is worse. Have you noticed that? Why so, Pastor? Because you lack fat to cushion the fall. So it's just the skin and then the bone. Agad-agad. Sugat. It pays to be fat, people. Alright? Hallelujah. And by the way, that's even scriptural. Fat belongs to the Lord. Right? Going back. So, one of those games. I fell. I had the wound right here. Now, I tried to hide that wound by always wearing pants. I would wear pants. But it came to the point wherein the pain was so much that when the wound would scratch with my, or would rub with my pants, it will hurt. So I was walking this way, like I did not want it to rub on my pants. My dad noticed that my walk was not good. And so he asked me, what's wrong? I said, nothing. Because I knew what he was going to do. I said, nothing. I said, something's wrong. Let me see. So I showed him, and he saw the wound. Now, what I did with the wound was just, I had running water wet the wound. I mean, that was it. Or clean the wound, or so I thought. Yun bang mabasa, at least nalinisan na. But by that time that my dad noticed it, it was already infected. So he got his paraphernalia. Agua oxygenada. Alright? Mertiolate. Okay? You know mertiolate? You still know mertiolate? Betadine. That's for weaklings. If it doesn't hurt, it's not good. Now, by the way, when I start talking medicine, don't listen to me, okay? But my dad, he got the agua oxigenada, so he starts applying hydrogen peroxide on my wound, and it starts bubbling like. I said, "Oh wow, I should have done this long ago when I got the wound. It doesn't hurt." At all. It's just. And some more. And some more. What I didn't know was that it was actually penetrating deep into. And then my dad did this. He got another cotton ball. And then. Ow! Ooh! Ooh! That hurt! Pero bawal sumigaw sa tatay. It really hurt. You know what he did? He actually did an excavation. Because the pus was deep beneath. He had to do that. And then applied the mertiolate. What's the mertiolate? Oh. Well, see, the late mertiolate. It's a good thing. I don't think it exists anymore. The late mertiolate. Right? Meron pa? Asa? Nails. Okay. Alright. Really. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll believe you. You're a nurse. But he applied that mertiolate. What's the mertiolate? That's the goldish, orangish, reddish, chemical. Yeah. I mean, that hurt. And that hurt bad. And then he applied the sulfanilamide. Oh, that felt good again. Sulfanilamide is good. That's the powder. That's the powder. All right? Why am I telling you this story? Sometimes, the wounds in our lives, the hurts, the sins, they're already deeply embedded. And we're thinking, I'm good, I'm good. But actually, you're walking life with a limp. You're trying to hide behind that facade that everything is okay until the Father notices, hey, there's something wrong with you. You're walking with a limp. It's time to clean up. It's time to clean up that wound. It's time that you mourn over that sin. It's time that you say no more to this wound. I want to be made whole again. It's time to be honest before the Father so that He can start cleaning us up. And He promises, blessed are those who mourn. It's good to mourn, people, just for a while, because we will find our comfort when we mourn over our sin and grieve over our sin. Then we will find our forgiveness. Amen? He's a good Father. He knows sin does us nothing good. And so He wants to clean up our act, cleanse us, so that we will find our joy in the Lord again. Amen?